by the beauty of this room, by the space that the Lord has given us to worship Him in this sanctuary, and just the changes, I suppose, that have been made over the last year. I look out and I see people who have been a part of that, and I just am blessed by it. And this space and this time is a place where I can worship the Lord. And it's not a place where I come to work. It's a place where I come to worship. And I want to say that not only is this room a beautiful place, but you, the people, are really the most beautiful part. And that is really what a church is. It is a group of people who have been called together to worship Jesus Christ. And so that's why we are here today. I want to share with us a message today, again, from this character called Nehemiah. And there's an Old Testament book by that name, and today we'll be in the sixth chapter of that book. Have you ever started a project, gotten about halfway through, and never finished it? Have you ever done that? That project may be sitting at your house staring at you every day, or every time you pull into the driveway, you're staring at that project and it's calling your name, screaming your name to finish it. Did you know there's a 250 feet tall, $100 million state-of-the-art bridge connecting Kentucky and southwestern Virginia, completed in 2015, awarded in 2017 for its design, but its connecting roads have never been finished? It's called a bridge to nowhere. A great idea, a great vision, great energy and momentum at the beginning, but no finishing strength. No finishing strength. That's the title of my message. I've just simply used the word hands, and then this, praying for finishing strength. We pick up the story of Nehemiah and a people in a similar place, with great vision, great energy to begin, but with this question: do they possess the strength to finish? Their project is not a bridge, but it's building new walls and hanging new gates to fortify the city that was so special and important to them in those ancient days, the city of Jerusalem. God also had a project, and His project was to rebuild God's people. Now, Sanballat is still up to his sinister plan to disrupt and intimidate Nehemiah. Sanballat requests a summit with Nehemiah, and he does this four different times, but Nehemiah resists and continues working. So let me start reading there in Nehemiah chapter 6, and I'll begin in verse 5. Then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with this same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it is true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become the king and have appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king. So come, let us meet together." And Nehemiah said, "I sent this reply to him. Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head." They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, "Now strengthen my hands." This week's prayer is short and sweet, but do not mistake this. This prayer is intense. And there is intensity in these four words. Now strengthen my hands. There's a way of reading Scripture where you take a short passage, maybe a verse, a short verse, or maybe just a few words, and you speak it in different ways. And I want to practice that today. Now strengthen my hands. In your own devotional life and in your spiritual practices, you can practice this. You can take a short few words of Scripture and give emphasis to each corresponding word. So I'm going to practice that now to show that there's intensity to this very short and sweet prayer. It's short and sweet, but it's also intense. Now, strengthen my hands. Lord, you hear the accusations of this man who is set on killing this project. I'm asking you, O God, to act now. Do something now, not later. Lord, not sometime in the future, but now. Now, Lord, do it now. Strengthen my hands. There's intensity in his request for God to work and act now, not later. Now strengthen my hands. Now strengthen my hands. That's what I need from you, Lord. I need your strength. I need strength because I'm growing weak. I'm getting discouraged. I'm losing a sense of why all of this matters. And so, Lord, now strengthen my hands. I don't need peace. I don't need hope. I don't need faith. I don't need a sermon. I need strength. Now strengthen my hands. Now strengthen my hands. Not someone else's, but mine. I'm crying out to you in prayer because, Lord, I am committed to doing your work. But I need you, O Lord, to take my hands and strengthen them and use them to accomplish your will, your vision, your story for my life. So please, Lord, now strengthen my hands. Now strengthen my hands. Lord, this is no longer about a great idea or about a great vision. I've come too far for that. I've paid too great a price. I've committed myself to this, and I cannot turn and walk away now. I am too deep into this. Lord, this is about the work. This is about the work that needs to be finished. So, Lord, now strengthen my hands. Not my mind, not my will, not my imagination, not my hope, not my peace, not my self-awareness, Lord. What I need now is strong hands to do the work, the real labor, Lord. It's no longer about a great idea or a great vision. It is about doing work. And Lord, what I need now are strong hands to do that work. Lord, I'm praying for finishing strength for my hands. That's a way to read Scripture and to read the story of God. Maybe you can practice that in your own times with God's Word, the Scriptures. It's a wonderful way of making the Scriptures come alive in a little bit of a different and fresh way. Especially familiar Scriptures that just kind of go in one ear and out the other because we've heard them all of our lives. If we stop and pause and read this way, the Scriptures, they come to new life. Well, back to the story. Nehemiah was praying for new strength, God's kind of strength, to finish the actual rebuilding of the wall. God had placed this before him. God had called him to it. And God had given him a passion for it. And even though God had done all of that, even though God had planted like a seed of a vision in Nehemiah's heart, and here, right in front of Nehemiah, this great idea and this wonderful, beautiful vision is beginning to take shape. And even though God is doing all of this beautiful thing in front of Nehemiah, even still, Sanballat forcefully opposes God. And opposes what God had started in Nehemiah. He is full of accusations. The falsehoods fly unfettered. Motives are questioned. Nehemiah was really trying to set himself up as king, is what Sanballat was saying. But Nehemiah prayed a simple prayer. Not that his hands would be used to do battle against Sanballat or to defend his motives to his accusers. Nehemiah's prayer identified that Nehemiah's hands belonged to the Lord, and those hands of his were meant to stay fixed on the Lord's work until it was finished and complete. Now, in this story, the main character's name is Nehemiah. There's not many Nehemiahs walking around these days, maybe a few. This story is not just about a Nehemiah. It's also about a Nancy. It's not just about a man named Nehemiah. It's about us together today as God's people, women and men, guys and girls, teenagers, children, our elders among us. It's about us all. It's about the fact that Nehemiah's prayer can help us when we need finishing strength. When God has placed something before us, and we know it. Nobody could tell us differently. We know God has just placed something before us. When God has called us to something, we don't need someone to affirm the fact that God has called us to something. We know that He has. When God has given us a passion to do a particular kind of work, we don't need someone to come along and affirm our giftedness. We know that God has given us a passion for something. You see, this is not just Nehemiah's story, but it's our story. It's your story and mine. When God has given us something and put something in front of us and placed in us a passion for a kind of work, it might actually be a project that matters around or inside your home. It might matter that that project gets done. Maybe there needs to be some peace around the house. And so it does matter that procrastinating on that particular thing, it might be time to finish it. It might be a mission to help struggling people in our community. You see it as you drive around. When you see it, it pricks your heart, and there's a burden that you have, and that burden turns into a sense of mission. Maybe I could do something about that. It might be a mission to help struggling people in our community. Maybe it's some form of the ministry of reconciliation that God has given his people. Paul talks about that ministry of reconciliation. And maybe God has laid it on your heart to be involved in this ministry of reconciliation, restoring lost hearts and souls to the Lord, restoring broken relationships and friendships between people, restoring peace and some harmony to broken communities or neighborhoods. Our neighbors, the ministry of reconciliation. And maybe God has dropped that seed down into your heart. Maybe it's to serve the people of God in the church in some way. You believe in it? Maybe you've even started it. You've already started taking steps toward it. You've initiated it. You believe in it. You started it. You've opened your mouth and you've shared your vision or passion with someone, and now you feel like you've said too much. You ever done that? You just open your mouth and say something about what you believe or what you're passionate about, and then you think, man, I said too much. People know too much about me. You feel vulnerable and kind of you've put yourself out there, and you don't know how people will receive it or how they're going to treat you now. But God sure is the one that dropped it in you. You believe in it. You believe in it so much that you've already taken steps to try to enact it. And Nehemiah's prayer is before us today. And that prayer is before us today to encourage us. To encourage us in our praying. To encourage us in our walking and our talking with God, as we lay our hearts before him, as we come before him to ask him for finishing strength. Nehemiah's prayer is before us today. It encourages us, but it is also an invitation to us. Nehemiah's prayer, this old story, this story is older than the oldest people around. It is ancient, but that ancient story beckons us to talk to God in this same kind of way. Lord, strengthen my hands. Help me, Lord, to finish. It invites us to pray this kind of prayer to God, because today, yes, today, we need finishing strength. Now, Lord, strengthen my hands. Strengthen my hands when I'm ready to quit and walk away. Lord, strengthen my hands when accusations are flying at me about my motives. Lord, strengthen my hands when I'm physically and mentally and emotionally weak and spent. Lord, strengthen my hands when I don't have the wisdom to know the next move I should make. Lord, strengthen my hands when I doubt my abilities and my gifts. Lord, strengthen my hands today, not in a week, not next year, but now, Lord, strengthen my hands with finishing strength. Now, O Lord, strengthen my hands so that I may finish the work that you have placed before me, the work that you have called me to do, the work that you've inspired me to do, Lord. Strengthen my hands. Now, we're not the only ones that needed strength. Jesus needed strength. When he was staring death in the face, Jesus knelt in a garden and prayed to his God. His simple and, yes, intense prayer for strength was this: let this suffering pass from me. But if not, then not my will, but your will, God, be done. He didn't say it this way, but Jesus could have said, Lord, strengthen now my hands for what I'm about to experience. The Apostle Paul says it this way in Philippians. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. I can do all of this through Christ Jesus, who gives me strength. Yes, finishing strength. And God's finishing strength is God's gift to us today. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh God, we accept that invitation into prayer, to call upon you in the same way that Nehemiah did so long ago, and to simply ask you, Lord, and I might add with a degree of intensity, Lord, now strengthen my hands. Lord, strengthen us. Strengthen our hands with finishing strength. Lord, for that you have placed before us. For some, it is as if it is an open door that you are standing at, inviting us to step through. For that you have placed before us. For that mission that you have placed on our hearts. For that vision that is calling out to us. For that work that needs finishing. We ask today again for finishing strength. That is your gift, O God, to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. What a special and sweet day.